Mark chapter 3 in the Word of God tonight. Mark chapter 3, if you will turn there. Been preaching through Mark and sure have enjoyed that gospel afresh and anew. Tonight we're going to look not at the first portion of the chapter, but on toward the end, beginning at verse 20, and we'll go down through verse 35. That does not mean that I'll be able to cover all those verses, but it does mean that's the scope of the text that God has laid upon my heart. Mark 3, 20 through 35. And in your Bibles, especially if it's on the same page, scope it out. Put your finger where it begins, 20, and down where it ends, 35. Might even circle it if you mark in your Bibles. That is important. Mark does, in this text, something that is amazing. Mark is particularly gifted with this writing technique. The Holy Spirit uses it dozens and dozens, perhaps hundreds of times in the Word of God. Listen to this word. It's called inclusio. I want to say it again. Inclusio. What in the world is inclusio? It's when a passage begins with a thought, inserts another block of truth in the middle, and then ends with the thought with which it began. Does that make any sense? A thought, an identical thought, and then a sermon sandwiched between the two thoughts. Inclusio. It is also at times called, and I think this works, bracketing. The Holy Ghost brackets a body of truth with an introductory and concluding thought that is virtually identical. It's called bookends. That would work. Bookends. And I want to make an announcement. The Holy Ghost is an amazing writer. Oh, what an author he is. Having said that, let me show you, and Brother Steve, you and Brother Jamie can see it more readily. I want to show you how Mark starts with a thought, and he ends with a thought, identical, virtually identical, and then he builds a sermon in the middle of the thought. If inclusio is something you're not going to remember, and bracketing or bookends, think this, especially if you're hungry, it's a sandwich. Piece of bread here, identical, they do match, and some meat in the middle. It's a sandwich, if you will allow me that I put inclusio down on my poster, and I pointed to the introductory paragraph and the concluding paragraph. Mark does it, as I've said, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. He loves to write this way. Now, last night, Psalm 128, and I preached about blessings that God wants to give us if we'll fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Tonight, I'm not preaching about blessings. I'm preaching about, I hope I get an amen. I'm preaching about Jesus. Amen. Just want to preach about Jesus a little while. Mark projects and presents the Lord Jesus as the suffering servant, much like Isaiah paints in the Old Testament. Verse 20, Mark chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. You follow me if you will. And the multitude cometh together again. That is a favorite word of Mark also, the multitude. Mark cannot get over how the multitudes followed our Lord Jesus Christ. To Mark, I'll need an amen. Jesus has a magnetism. Jesus has a magnetism about him. We are told the common people heard him gladly. The common people. You know what I am? I'm a common people tonight. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. The multitude cometh together so that they, Jesus and the disciples, he just called the disciples, they could not so much as do what? You tell me. They could not so much as eat bread. I mean, the throngs were around him. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to hear his every word. Couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat bread. Sometimes Jesus had to withdraw and say, verse 21. And when his friends heard of it, news travels. When his friends heard of it. I got to deal with that word friends. In Greek, it's P-A-R-A, para. Normally a preposition. Here, obviously, our King James translator says no. It's a friend. This is what the word friends means. Those closest to him. Those of intimate acquaintance. Not talking about the disciples. They just have begun their ministry a few verses earlier. Who are his friends? Preacher, it's none other. And the papyrus documents in first century Greek Rome, it's his family. It's those who should have loved him the most. It's Mary. No mention of Joseph. It's Mary. He had a brother named Judah, had a brother named James, had a brother named Simon, had a brother named Joseph. You say, how do you know that? Mark chapter 6, verse number 3. Oh, I got to qualify. I don't want to take the time, but I've got to. What do you mean he had a brother? He had four, get me an amen, half-brothers. Why are you saying half-brothers? That don't sound just right. He had the same mama they had, but he didn't have the same daddy they had. Jesus Christ is virgin born. Joseph didn't have a thing in the world to do with Jesus coming to this earth. That's the domain of the Holy Ghost of God. But he did have his family. And I'll try to prove that more conclusively in a minute. His friends, those nearest to him, his mama and his mother, when they heard of it, preacher, they heard he's out there preaching and teaching and healing, and he's not eating and he's not sleeping and he's not getting the rest. When they heard of it, watch. They went out to do something to him. They went out, you tell me, to do what? Lay hold on him. Jamie, that's krateo, K-R-A-T-E-O. It means to get him, to manhandle him. It is the verb Mark uses when they arrest the Lord Jesus. Here come his friends. Here comes his family. He's gone. And they're going to lay hold of him. We can't let him go on preaching and teaching and not eating and not caring. They're going to lay hold on him. Are y'all with me so far? Last of verse 21. They went to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. What a beautiful translation. He, ek and histami, ek in him. He is beside himself. He is out of his mind. They're accusing the Lord of being unbalanced. They're accusing the Lord of being crazy. They're accusing the Lord of being beside himself. Now, I've got so much to do, and I just got to hurry. But why would they accuse him of being beside himself? He was in line to lead that carpenter shop. Probably Joseph is dead by now. He's not mentioned after the Jesus' 12 years of age experience there at the temple. And Jesus, he's the oldest boy. Could I get an amen there? How do you know he's the oldest boy? Because he's virgin born. That's how I know he's the oldest boy. All the others came after him when Mary and Joseph lived together properly as husband and wife. He's left the carpenter shop. He's not supporting our family name. He's now done got the Pharisees and scribes mad at him. He's going to be ashamed of us. And we feel like the Jesus' own family have come to lay hold on him and take him back home.
Yes, sir.
Because they're embarrassed at what he's doing. They're embarrassed at the way he is acting. Now, I've got to ask this question. You talk to me. Are y'all with me so far? Go with me, if you will, to verse number 31. Shouldn't do it this way, but I've got to. Verse 31. This is the other half of the inclusio. Going to be identical thoughts. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, they couldn't get in the house where Jesus was, so many of the multitude. Standing without, they sent unto him, calling him, and the multitude sat about him. The multitude sat about, and they said unto him, his family can't get to him. I mean, they can't get near him. By the way, they just accused him of being nuts a little while earlier. Jesus is still at it. Anybody here glad Jesus is faithful? Thank God. Oh, my. Behold, I can hear. We can't get to him. I'm his mama. Would you get word in there to Jesus? And we'd like to have a word with him. And it passes from one person to another through the living room and on back toward the center of the atrium of the house. Your family's out there. And they, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. But he answered them saying, get this, who is my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he looked around about on them that sat about him, and he said, behold, that's what he did. He looked around on that crowd that loved him. He looked around on that crowd that had been following him, and he said, you're my mother. You're my brethren. For whosoever, you'll need an amen, whosoever will do the will of God, he is my brother. He is my sister. And that person is my mother, doing the will of God. Are y'all all right so far? Really, this doesn't put the Lord's family in real good light. They think he's crazy. They're going to lay hold on him and force him. That's why the brothers are there, expect. Force him back to Nazareth, back to the carpenter shop. Oh, I got to ask this question. Aren't you glad he didn't go? Anybody here glad he didn't throw in the towel? He didn't abdicate what God sent him to do? He's determined. He's absolute. He came to die on the cross, and on that cross, he's going to die. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? What interests me right here, whosoever shall do the will of God, that's my brother. That's my sister, and that's my mother. I'm not a Jew. As far as I know, there's not one drop of Hebrew blood flowing through my body. I acknowledge my Savior is a Jew of the tribe of Judah, nonetheless. There's no way I'd ever be able to claim kinship to him. It's just impossible. I'm not of the right racial background. I don't have the right skin color. It's just not going to happen. And it never would have happened. I've got to convince you of something. I believe I'm in. Look, preacher, it says, and his family, and they were without. Thine brother, they seek thee. They are without. They are without. There's a crowd that's without, and there's a crowd that's within. Oh my, could I get an amen somewhere? Anybody in this building, you don't belong to that crowd. You're in the in crowd. Hallelujah. Oh, my, I love that thought. That is absolutely precious to my soul. Well, Brother Bagwell, I'd like to know how you got in. You think you're a brother of the Lord. Now, I know he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He washed away my sin. But you don't think you're a brother to the Lord Jesus. Follow me. I don't want to be disrespectful. Never would do it. He taught us to pray our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be. Our Father, that is a plural possessive pronoun. Our Father, I think that means his Father and my Father are the same Father. Hallelujah. You know what that means. You, in all due respect, I think that means I'm kin to him. I think that means he's my brother. He's my elder brother. He's my sinless brother. He's my saving brother. Oh, what a brother I got today. Y'all with me? But then it captures me. I got to say something. Mary the Virgin, thank God for her. We probably don't honor her like we should. Was not a perfect woman. Oh, that's a weak amen. Y'all aren't Catholics, are you? Oh, that Immaculate Conception. I don't understand all of what if I could show you a verse? It's in the Magnificat. It's in the early part of Luke. It's in Luke chapter 1. Mary says, I know who's in me. I know the Holy Ghost has overshadowed me. And she says, he is God. He is God, my Savior. He is my Savior. Could I make an announcement tonight? Mary can't save you. Mary can't help save you. Mary's got nothing to do with the plan of salvation. Mary's a sinner, was born a sinner, lived a sinner till she got washed in the same blood of the Lamb you got washed in. I think that might ought to be said. And sometimes, I believe I can show you a place or two, Paul probably missed God's will. And I'd say if Paul missed God's will, any one of us could miss God's will. But I'll show you, Mary missed God's will sometimes. That first miracle in John's gospel, turning water into wine, she just went up and said, they're out of wine. They're out of wine. In other words, you know what to do. You're able to say, they're out of wine. They're out of wine. And you know what he said to her? And he says it with respect, I think. I don't think he's sinning in any way. Never did sin. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You know what Jesus just said to Mary? You take care of the festivities. Let me go on being the Son of God. Let me go on heading toward the cross of Calvary. Mama, please stay in your place if you will. Are y'all okay? If I had time, I'm not going to tell you. There are other instances where Mary seems to have pushed her back. In fact, this is a pretty good one right here. He's nuts. He's crazy. The Lord is beside him. Said, we got to get him and came back. But, in the midst of all of that, I'm not doing a very good job. We're just now getting to the end of the sandwich, the end of the inclusio. The people who should have stood by Jesus and loved Jesus and understood Jesus more than anybody else have now said he has lost his mind. He is off his rocker. He is beside himself. Jesus' very family, in fact, John chapter 7 said his brothers did not believe on him. I don't think James got saved till after the resurrection. Same thing likely with Jude. Oh, could I make a... Jesus has had that slap him in the face, and I'm so glad he didn't let it deter him. He didn't let it... He just said, I'm going to the cross, and I don't care who gets in the way. Help me. I'm going to die for sinners. Uh, But I still hadn't got to that doing God's will. Doing God's will. Probably wouldn't hurt to quit preaching, give invitation right here. Doing God's will. Yeah, we've been saved. We're in the family. He's our older brother. But I'll tell you something, and I mean it with all my heart. Every one of us ought to look for, find, and delight. Hope I get a crowd of amens in doing God's will for our lives. Doing God's will for our lives. I was just a lad when God saved me, and I praise Him for it. I was 14 when God called me to preach. Now, I know you say, I don't think that could happen. It did. It did happen. But I was an upset young man when God called me to preach because I did not want to be a preacher. I had my life mapped out. Preacher, I wanted to fly. I wanted to be an aviator. My dad had helped me. We'd already written to the Air Force Academy, gotten all the qualifications for entrance. And a high school counselor was aboard. We already had found the name of the state representative we would need to write. And, oh my, I was going to fly off into the wild blue yonder. That's what I wanted to do with my life. And God wrecked it. God ruined it, I thought, when He called me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I wanted to fly airplanes, and I'm leading up to something. Don't quit listening. I fought that. I tried to work a deal with God. I said, I'll tell you what, Lord, I'll give up flying for the Air Force should I ever be able to do that, and I'll be a missionary pilot. You forget that preaching business. Take that off the table, and I'll just fly them missionaries anywhere they want to go. He wouldn't have it. Wouldn't let me go that route. And then I came up with this. I said, Lord, let me get a job with an airline. I'll try to fly all week, and I'll get me a little church somewhere, be bivocational, and I'll preach on to. And He wouldn't go for that neither. God told me, and He told me, you know, I think I got drafted. Old Amos said, the Lord took me. I think I got drafted. God said, you'll be doing my will, preaching the word of God. Could I make an announcement tonight? I sure am glad I obeyed Him. Hallelujah. Somebody quit the other day, and I like it. He said God took Brother Bagwell from the cockpit and put him in the pulpit. Amen. I am enjoying being in the pulpit. I am delighting in my soul tonight, trying to expound this a little bit. Doing the will of God. If you don't know God's will for your life, get on your knees, snuggle you out of place in the shavings, find God's will for your life, get busy doing it, need a name, you brothers and sisters of our Lord. So, we've talked a little bit about the opening and the closing paragraph. Now, let's go to the middle for a few minutes. The middle of the text. Been preaching 23 minutes and 37 seconds. I have to pace it for my benefit. Verse 22, the middle. Where's the middle? Verse 22 through verse 30. Verse 22 through verse 30. What? Watch now. The Lord's preaching, healing, working miracles, helping people. Folks are getting saved right and left. And his family comes up, and if you'll watch my hand, slaps him upside the head. You're beside yourself. We're going to get you. We're taking you home. Enough of this. Enough of this silliness. Jesus, if you keep this up, you're going to get yourself killed. They're going to turn on you, and they'll hang you on a cross someday. They don't know that's why He came in the first place. Hallelujah. And I'll declare, if in the middle of this, our Lord doesn't get hit again, knocked upside the head in His journey to the cross of Calvary. Look at what I'm trying to say. Verse number 22. And the scribes, you know who they are? Those are the boys that knew God's word. These men have given their lives to studying Old Testament scripture. They knew Genesis 3, 15 and 16. They knew the Son of God was coming. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. They knew Jesus was going to be out of the loins of Abraham. They knew Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. Help me, I'm going to have to go. They knew he was going to come out of the tribe of Judah. You read a little bit further. They knew he was going to be born of a virgin. You read a little bit further. They knew he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They knew every bit of that. Of all people to be singing his praises and bragging on him, it should have been those scribes, but they were not willing to do it. Instead, they hated our Lord. Let me show you what I mean. The scribes, they came down from Jerusalem. There's just so much. Can't preach it. If you ever leave Jerusalem, you are going down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's 2,500 feet above sea level. It's way up there in the mountains. You ever leave, and Jerusalem's for the house of God, I'm not going to preach it. If you ever leave the house of God, I mean, get mad, pack up, and you're leaving, you are on your way down, bless your heart. You can mark that down for sure. Anyway, they came down from Jerusalem, and this is what they said. He hath Beelzebub. He hath Beelzebub, hath echo, E-C-H-O. He possesses. He's holding on to. He hath Beelzebub. And by, you say, who's Beelzebub? Keep reading. And by the prince of devils, by the prince of devils, casteth he out devils. That's what they said about our Lord. They said he's not doing these miracles with God's hand. That's the devil. That's Beelzebub. That's a bunch of demons who are allowing him. Could I make an announcement? I don't believe I'm ever going to say that right there. Serious, serious business. The Lord knows it's been said. Fellas, he could have let it pass on by. He could have ignored it. Could have gone on healing, I guess. But look at verse 23. And he called them unto him. He called them unto him. He said, you fellas thinking that I'm working in the power of the devil, come here. He called them unto him. Are y'all getting that? Come here. Front and center. These boys are getting called on the carpet. It's worse than going to the principal's office. When you were a young lad back there in school, could you get an amen? Surely somebody beside me had to go there. And he called them unto him and said unto them, how can Satan cast out Satan? How can Satan cast out the, oh my. More to preach than I can. I'm just going to preach and then I'll quit whenever I get where I have to quit. He called them unto him. Come here, fellas. I want to make an announcement and see somebody will glorify the Lord. He never ran from a fight. He never ran from a fight. We got a mistaken idea in my thought of the Garden of Gethsemane. I've heard it preached time and time again. Jesus on his way to the cross and he came to the garden and he was about to chicken out. He got cold feet. He decided he wasn't sure. He wanted to go through with this. I'm going to stand right here. And I want to say something. My Lord did not chicken out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did not get cold feet in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came to die. He came to die. And Luke 12:50 said he is going... How straightened he was in his spirit. He came to die. He ain't going to quit till he does die for you and me. Never, never did he run from a fight. Isaiah 50. I love Isaiah 50. In Isaiah, I preached it here, parts of it. In Isaiah 50, God the Father speaks. When he quits, God the Son speaks. And I'll declare, God the Holy Ghost has some things to say. I'm interested in what Jesus said. He talked about giving his back to the smiters. He talked about the beating they would give him on the old rugged cross. And then Jesus said, who will contend with me? Who is my enemy at Calvary? Who is it that hates the shed blood of the Lamb of God? We all know the answer to that. It's the devil. And Jesus looks at the devil and says, let him come unto me. Let him. I tell you what Jesus said to the devil. Say amen. Bring it on. Bring it on, buddy. Take your best shot. We'll just see who's going. And by the way, the Lord didn't run. He met the devil on Calvary and he whooped up on him. Hallelujah. Come here, boys. Come here. Come unto me. That's what our Lord said to that doubting, unbelieving, blaspheming group of scribes. I'm not going to be able to follow all of his logic. I think I need to say this. Sometimes the devil's plumb stupid. I'm not going to back up on that. I know he's the prince of the power of the air. God, the devil may have some wisdom, but I'm here to tell you God is omniscient. That means God is all wise. The Lord's logic here is flawless. When the Lord gets through, the scribes have nothing else to say. He has shut their mouths. Was it the preacher before me, Brother Jerry? Brother Jerry Steins, where are you, preacher? Raise your hand. If I had a radio program, I'd put it on there. Hallelujah. I'd put his sermon on it, and I'd broadcast it across. That's good preaching we heard about hushing our mouths and looking and seeing the Almighty living God in heaven. Hallelujah. But I have to do this. Verse 26. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Hath an end. Can't preach it out in full, but let me tell you what Jesus just did. He just served notice. He just served notice on the devil that somebody showed up that is fixing to, hope I get an amen, tear your house to pieces. And there's somebody showed up. Y'all ever heard the old expression, he met his match. He met his match. I want to tell you that day when this crowd accused Jesus of working in the power of Beelzebub. Oh, did the devil meet his match with a capital M? Did the devil meet more than his match? Amen. Says, but the devil hath an end. See the end of verse, hath an end. I love it, preacher. Jesus just said to the devil, I'll need a smile, it's about over, old boy. You're about to meet your end. I'm about to defeat you. Verse 27, I'll show you just a little more. No man can enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he'll spoil his house. Curtis, watch this. God's word just admitted the devil is a strong man and he's got a house. He's got him a kingdom. Yes, sir. Jesus made that clear. And he's got him some spoils in that kingdom. He's got him some souls that have sold out to him and his darkness and his nefarious deeds. But oh, serve notice tonight on the strong man and his house and all of his goods. Hope I get an amen. There's a stronger man in town now. Hallelujah. Oh, a greater than Daniel is here. A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Isaiah. A greater than the devil is here. And that's none other than our Savior. Hallelujah. I think, man, I shouldn't say it this way, but I think Jesus just looked at the devil and said, I'm going to whoop your tail. Bring it on, buddy. I'm going to deal with you. There's another way to put that. That's not the King James rendition of it right there. I want to make that clear. I'm going to take you on. You say, preacher, you don't believe Jesus spoiled. You don't believe Jesus spoiled the devil and his house. I know on the cross of Calvary, he spoiled the devil and his house. Preacher, I'd love to hear you on this. It's in Colossians chapter 2. Paul gets to talking about what Jesus did on the old rugged cross. And just this line, I want to preach more, but just this line. And having spoiled principalities and powers. Having spoiled principalities. That word spoiled, I preached it here several years ago, is ek duo. Ek duo. Jesus spoiled the devil that day when our Savior died on Calvary. What does ek duo mean? It is the opposite of in. In means this way. Ek, exit sign, means that away. Endued, let me show you what endued means. Jesus said to the disciples, resurrection, y'all go back to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued. Endued means you put your coat on. Endued means you put your armor on. Endued means you suit up like you're supposed to be. But Jesus didn't endue the devil that day on Calvary. He endued the devil. You know what that means? That means Jesus got a hold of the devil. Hope I get an amen. And knocked his socks off. Hallelujah. Stripped him of his armor. Absolutely ripped away every bit of power that he had. Glory to God. I'm thankful tonight we're on the winning side. Hallelujah to his good name. He stripped him. He spoiled him. Bless his good name. Oh, back to our text. If I can carry you, I don't have much longer. The priest said he'll spoil his goods and he'll take them. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you. Okay. I can't read it yet. Look at me. Jesus is now about to discuss what we often call, I'll need some amens for anybody, the unpardonable sin. Maybe you've not read ahead. A sin for which Jesus says there is no forgiveness. Does anybody believe the possibility of such a, we don't have a choice. Jesus said it, that means it's true. Verse 20. But before he unloads on these blaspheming scribes, I want you to look, Brother Bruce, look what Jesus does. Verily I say unto you, I'm in verse 28, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies whithersoever they shall blaspheme. All sins, all blasphemies. Can I use that cooler, brother, as an illustration? I want to give you that concept of sins being forgiven. All sin. What I'm saying, before he gives the ultimatum of the unpardonable sin, the Lord Jesus Christ right here in my text says, but there is forgiveness. There is grace. Y'all sing about it. There is mercy to be found at the foot of the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. All sins shall be forgiven. Aphemia. Watch it. It happened to you when you got saved. That's a heavy load. In your mind, I want you to imagine that it weighs tons. Does anybody remember back when you were weighted down with a filth and the garbage of our sin. Here's the word forgiveness. I can't budge under it. It's going to crush me. It's going to damn me to an eternal hell. But God sends the Holy Ghost. God himself shows up and he, whereas I would tug and tug and never budge it, God takes all my sin. God lifts it up and God carries it away. God totes it over here somewhere. Miss Shelby, I'm just going to come another step or two. And God sets it down over yonder. You say, where in the world did God put my sin? I don't know the final answer to that. I think it's as far as the east is from the west. So I don't know the complete answer to that. I'm pretty sure he buried it in the depths of the sea. I looked that up. 35,723 feet down. It's so dark down there, the fish don't even have eyes. It's so dark down there, the devil can't find my sin. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm forgiven tonight. Bless his good name. He offers forgiveness to those who listen, to those who love, to those who respond. But, verse 29, he that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. He's in danger of eternal damnation because they said he hath an unclean spirit. He hath an unclean spirit. I want to make this statement. I may have to close soon, but I'm going to go back and look. I'll make a statement. Jesus is real jealous of the Holy Ghost. I probably didn't word it good. Jesus, we only worship one God, but he is a triune God. Godhead is absolutely in perfect harmony, always has been, always will be, except for those hours at Calvary where the Father had to forsake his Son for our sins. Jesus says, you can talk about me, you can run me down, you can talk about, but if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God, you've crossed the line, you've gone too far, it will not be forgiven you in this life, it will not be forgiven you. Oh my, I always want to love and honor and respect the Holy Ghost of God. Attributing the works of Jesus to the devil. There's a sermon. There's a miracle. There's another healing of some sort. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's not God. It's Satan. It's the devil. Well, I get two amens. Unpardonable sin. Am I in the Bible or am I not in the Bible? Unpardonable sin. We need to be careful. Oh. Now, y'all may not agree with me, and I'm going to love you if you don't. Somebody come up and they said, Brother Bagwell, I'm worried sick. I believe I've committed the sin against the Holy Ghost. I believe I committed the unpardonable sin. I can't sleep at night. I'm pacing the floor back. I'm afraid I've done it. Something tells me I've done it. You listen to Brother Bagwell. If you're worried about it, you ain't done it. If you're worried about it, if you're fretting over it, if it's got you scared to death, you know how I know that? Because once an individual commits the unpardonable sin, the Holy Ghost backs away, the Holy Ghost ends that ministry right there, and you'll die, and you'll go to, Jesus said, you'll spend eternity in damnation forevermore. Are you all with me tonight? Oh, I'd love to think that might give somebody some comfort tonight. Hey, if you're here lost, under conviction, got news for you. The devil can't stop you. The imps of hell can't stop you. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. Just go ahead, believe on him, and trust him, and get saved. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close down, but I got to say this. Not only is Jesus real jealous of the Holy Ghost, Listen, I'll try to prove it. I sort of think the Holy Ghost looks out for Jesus real good, too. Oh, you hauled off and said it. You better have some proof. I think I do. It's controversial. Arguable, the scholars will say. James chapter 4, verse 5. James says this. The Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I know, again, it's arguable. The Spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth. That means to want something real bad. The Spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy. Envy's got the idea, property, possession, and value. How many of y'all are saved tonight? Say amen. How many of y'all have the Holy Ghost? And if you are saved, you do, living in you tonight. Amen. If the Holy Ghost sees you drifting, if the Holy Ghost sees you growing lukewarm, if the Holy Ghost sees you getting off the beaten path, oh, the Holy Ghost gets stirred into action. The Holy Ghost down inside you gets right jealous over you. And, oh, preacher, I'll illustrate with you if I can. The Holy Ghost would say, oh, no, I'm not giving him up. I'm not letting the devil get him. I'm not letting him go out there. I'm jealous over him. I'm lusting after him to envy. I want him for Jesus. I want him to keep on staying pure. Yes, I want him to keep. Oh, my goodness, that's a thrilling me no end. My Savior, jealous over the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, jealous over the Savior. Man, oh, man, get ready. I'm about to quit. I'm in good hands tonight. I'm saved. I'm in the family. He's my brother, washed in the blood, born again. Glory to his name. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and stand. Jordan, could somebody come play something on the instrument, whatever you got planned, if that could begin. Preacher, if you'll just give me 2 or 3 minutes, sure would appreciate it. Nobody looking. Nobody staring. I just wonder if there's anybody here tonight. Say, Brother Bagwell, the family thought he was crazy. The scribe said he was full of the devil. The world today has been cussing him from sun up to sundown. The media mocks him, makes fun of him. And brother, if you could just let a little bit of soft music play somehow, if somebody would. Preacher, while they're mocking him, while they're putting him down, I made up my mind I'm going to love him. I'm going to adore him. I'm going to thank him for saving my lost soul. I may be out of order, but it's in my heart. I've got to do it. Wonder if anybody would leave your pew, make your way down here somewhere in the shavings, and thank your Savior. He's not doing things by the power of Beelzebub. He's doing everything by the power, the energy, and the might of the good Holy Ghost of God. Made up my mind, if they're going to cuss him, I'm going to bless him. If they're going to put him down, I want to lift him up. If they're going to be ashamed of him, I want to be proud for him. If they're going to low rate him, I want to uplift him every way that I possibly can. I'm not saying you got to come. No, no, no. You just do what got something else I want to ask. Doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Could there be somebody here tonight? You'd say, preacher, I'm searching for his will. Come use this altar a minute. Oh, God, show me. Let me get busy doing the will of God. God bless these young people. Might be somebody here used to do God's will. I say used to do God's will, but not anymore so much. Sort of let it slide. I'd get that right tonight. I'd make up my mind with the help of God
to get reignited, to get revived, to get back to fearing the Lord and walking in His ways. Oh, what